Trust, confidence, and security are key building blocks for the global information society. Identity management, privacy, and data protection, but also crisis management, protection of physical infrastructure, and even the fight against crime are all areas that can benefit from ICT solutions. Illegal and harmful content and conduct has been a concern for lawmakers, industry, parents, and teachers since the web put unregulated content one click away from any internet-connected PC. There is the need for new legal and policy framework for cyberspace. Cyberspace is a new land without borders and without a government yet. Cyberspace is not a parallel universe. It interacts with our own world and poses many new challenges for policymakers and many threats to the international community. For instance, we are increasingly dependent on cyberspace, but how can we protect against international cyber terrorism? Who can police cyberspace and how? How can we control crimes conducted in cyberspace? Which jurisdiction should take precedence? How can freedom of expression or other fundamental human rights be guaranteed in cyberspace? Is there a danger that some would seek to control content? How can we build user trust and confidence in cyberspace? There may well exist national policies and laws on these issues, but their effectiveness is limited by the fact that they only apply within national borders. Yes, many of our economic transactions and our intellectual activity are conducted in cyberspace without clear rules and regulations. Cyber threats can arise everywhere, in any time, causing immense damage in a very short space of time before they are tackled. Current attempts to address these challenges at the national and regional levels are inadequate, as cyberspace is boundless and limited only by human imagination. An international framework is needed. A global framework which will give us international principles and will allow a rapid coordination between countries at the regional and global levels. The ITU Global Cybersecurity Agenda represents such a framework. Dr. Oscar Arias Sanchez, President of Costa Rica and Nobel Peace Prize laureate, as patron of this initiative, and I invite you to join with us in supporting ITU's urgent effort, because peace and safety in the virtual world will become an ever more essential part of peace and safety in our everyday lives. We have a vital responsibility to ensure the safety of all those who venture online, especially as online services become a more integral part of citizens' lives. Today, the future of cyberspace is something we still have the power to create and shape. How do we create a global culture of cybersecurity? Our strategy path is one that must be forged through foresight, vision, and specific actions. And this brings us to why we are here. Since cyberspace does not respect national borders, and because no country alone can solve the world's cybersecurity problems, the world must take action and it must stand united. We must work preemptively and proactively to build trust and security in electronic communication now. What is at stake here is not just our capacity to protect existing systems, but our ability to make the internet a key driver for growth and social development. Let me convey to all participants my conviction that the success of this open forum is an important step in our global effort towards an information society more secure and safe for all, in which citizens of the world may realize their potential and share their dreams. Más una vez, agradezco por la convite. Obrigado por la atención. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigado. That's all I know. Well, Ambassador Laura Thompson, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Hamadoun Touré. I'm the Secretary General of ITU, and I'm very much delighted by this opportunity to address you on the vital subject of cybersecurity, a subject that is top priority for ITU. The ability to use ICTs safely and securely is the basis for all electronics, electronic exchanges or data, of data and online transactions over communication networks. And yet, the safe and secure use of ICTs is in jeopardy, threatening to undermine users' confidence in ICTs as well as the future growth potential of the internet. According to the latest industry reports, the misuse of ICTs for criminal purposes is growing. Meanwhile, cyber attacks are becoming more sophisticated, evolving from direct attacks on infrastructure to more advanced forms of fraud, theft of data, and invasion of privacy. The growth in potential networks means that we are all affected by the growth in global networks means that we are all affected by the security choices of others. Network security is only as strong, as reliable, as the weakest link. Attacks can arise anywhere in the network at any time and spread rapidly throughout the global network, causing untold damage in a matter of hours. Cyber attacks do not recognize borders or time zones. Hackers are becoming better organized with websites, toolkits, and shared resources for exploiting software vulnerabilities readily available online. To date, responses by authorities have been only partial and piecemeal. It is difficult for any single national or regional legal entity to respond to attacks that often reach across borders. A global framework is needed to deal with this global problem. To ensure that ICTs can be used safely and securely, I took the opportunity to launch the Global Cybersecurity Agenda, or GCA, on World Telecommunication and Information Society Day this year, 16th May 2007. This major initiative will seek consensus on just such a global framework for international cooperation in cybersecurity to meet the need for a coordinated response to new and emerging cyber attacks. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Dr. Oscar Arias, President of Costa Rica, for being the patron of this initiative. Who can better be patron of this cyber peace initiative than someone who won the Nobel Peace Prize? The Global Cybersecurity Agenda, GCA, will unite existing initiatives and partners with the objective of proposing global strategies to address today's challenges in the fight against cybercrime. The overall aim of the Global Cybersecurity Agenda is to make significant progress on the agreed goals in the fight against cybercrime and to increase confidence in the security in the information society. The Global Cybersecurity Agenda will establish a common understanding as to how the issues and challenges surrounding cybersecurity can best be addressed. With the close involvement of governments, policymakers, responsible authorities, the private sector, and other stakeholders. With its 191 member states and more than 700 sector members and associates, the ITU is uniquely placed to make use of its expertise and contacts to involve all stakeholders. ITU provides the ideal forum where diverse views on cybersecurity and cybercrime can be discussed. To this end, ITU has established a high-level expert group, HLEG, to provide tough leadership on these tough issues. leading experts from governments, industry, international organizations, and other stakeholders, industry, met in Geneva on 5th of October this year during the first meeting of the HLEG and agreed to organize the work of the HLEG in five key areas. One, legal matters. Two, technical and procedural matters. Three, organizational structures. Four, capacity building. And five, international cooperation. In addition to this pioneering initiative to develop a global framework dealing with this, with issues surrounding cybersecurity, the ITU development sector has developed a comprehensive work plan for technical assistance to developing countries in dealing with these challenges based on international best practices. ITUT, the T sector, is undertaking significant work in developing global standards for authentication, access control, confidentiality, integrity, and security architecture for end-to-end communication systems. ITU is dedicated to working on all fronts to assure a safer and more secure online environment for users of ICT around the world. As one of the five teams of the second IGF, the challenges related to the global threats must be addressed through cooperation, collaboration, and a common understanding among all the stakeholders. And of course, I should add to that that while we are addressing cybersecurity issues, we should well be aware of the need to keep the confidentiality and the freedom on the cyberspace. ITU welcomes all interested partners to join its efforts in cybersecurity for a safer information society for all. I thank you very much. We now give the podium for the next speakers of the next session, Malcolm Johnson, Art Riley, and Shioya Yang from the Telecommunications Standardization Bureau. Please come.
Okay, thank you very much. Now I would then give the floor to Mr. Malcolm Johnson, Director, Telecommunications Standardization Bureau at the ITU. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman. Good afternoon, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, congratulations on finding this room on this first day of the IGF. I think it's a bit confusing. So thank you very much for coming along. It's an honor and pleasure for me to talk to you as the director of the ITU Telecommunications Standardization Bureau, which is known as ITUT. 2 years ago this month, the WSIS in Tunisia gave ITU the critical role of coordinating multitask taskholder implementation of the WSIS Action Line 5, C5, on building competence and trust in the use of ICTs. 1 year ago this month, the ITU Plenipotentiary Conference, I was fortunate enough to become part of the new ITU management team, which was elected to carry forward this task and others under the leadership of Dr. Touré. And as he mentioned, cybersecurity is one of ITU's top priorities, where we need to coordinate action of our membership in to address, as well as other stakeholders, to address Action Line C5. And now here in Rio at this IGF, we have the chance to join in a dialogue with those other stakeholders on how to win the war against cyber threats. In the last year, we have seen the nature of the global threat to cybersecurity has moved to a new level of intensity. We have seen cybersecurity attacks elevated to the level of warfare, with attacks against basic government infrastructure in a number of countries. The percentage of email that now constitutes spam has arisen to 75%, and spam is increasingly being used as a vehicle for viruses and frauds and phishing attacks. And in August this year, the Storm botnet compromised an estimated 1.8 million computers around the world. So for this reason, it's important that those parts of the international community that seek to defend the safety and security of the world's ICT networks should step up their efforts to a new level of intensity. An important part of this process is the standardization work to ensure that common standards for network security are as adopted as widely as possible. Not only will a harmonization of standards increase the level of security, it will also reduce the costs of building security in systems. ITU is a unique global forum for ICT standard setting. It is an international public-private partnership. And as the Secretary General mentioned, we have 191 governments and more than 700 private sector entities working together in the ITU. And then, of course, for the standardization work, it's the private sector that we depend on mostly. In fact, 95% of our standards are agreed by the participants who actually develop them, and only 5%, which have regulatory or policy implications, go to formal adoption by the member states. In ITUT, it's Study Group 17, which has the lead responsibility for telecommunications security. This involves maintaining overall security frameworks, as well as project management, including the coordination, assignment, and prioritization of actions that lead to timely adoption of security standards, which we call recommendations. There are now literally hundreds of ITUT recommendations on security, or which have security implications. In particular, the X500 series of recommendations on directory services and authentication, including the well-known X509 recommendation, which lies behind public key infrastructure, PKI, encryption. And the X800 series addresses security architecture framework, X1000 series on telecommunications security, and the new Y2700 security series on security of next generation networks. Ongoing ITUT work on security is now looking into new areas like telebioptics, security for home networking, and security for mobiles. And ITU is working with other standards development organizations to maintain an ICT security roadmap, which is on our website. to help coordinate the work amongst all these various bodies. It lists all the security standards available, not just from ITU, but from other bodies such as ISO, IEC, IETF, etc. And we believe that's a very useful place to look to get information on security standards. One particular urgent area of work that was identified through an ITU survey was the need to combat identity theft. And this resulted in us establishing a focus group on identity management in December last year. And that group, of course, a focus group of ITU is open to all participants, not just ITU members. And it was very well attended. It had 6 meetings, and it concluded its work in September this year. So that work will go forward now into developing formal recommendations. I think that illustrates how quickly, in fact, ITU can respond to the threats posed in the in this area. The outcome will be a global or generic identity management framework to avoid having to have numerous passwords and usernames for us to access various systems. So in conclusion, standardization is a key building block in constructing a global culture of cybersecurity. We can and we will win the war against cyber threats. We will do this by building on the work of the thousands of dedicated individuals from governments, private sector, and civil society who come together in organizations like ITU to develop the security standards and guidelines of best practices in this area. The work is not glamorous or high profile, but it is nonetheless essential for our common digital future. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Mr. Johnson. Now I give the floor to Mr. R. Riley, Senior Director for Strategic Technology Policy of Cisco Systems. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman, for this, and I'd like to extend my appreciation. And if the first set of view graphs could come up. Okay. All right. I'd like to thank the ITU Secretary General and Malcolm Johnson, the ITU T director, for inviting me to be part of this presentation. And Malcolm has told you a little bit about the work of ITUT on cybersecurity. And Joya, who will follow me, will tell you a lot more about the specific work. So what I'm going to do in the short amount of time that I have is I have a set of view graphs that I'll have to go through quickly, but to talk about it from the perspective of a corporation and how we see the standards fitting together to create the, as Malcolm indicated, the culture of cybersecurity. I've been involved with the ITU and its predecessor CCITT for about 25 years, so it predates even probably the use of the word cyber or cyberspace. So the process of standardization is one that's critical to cyberspace, and we're building on a foundation and many organizations, as Malcolm has suggested. And in order to do that, what's really important for corporations and for individuals to be aware of the issues. And that culture of cybersecurity is going to depend upon each of us being very vigilant with regard to the issues and the threats that exist and the challenges and how to deal with them, to be persistent and pervasive with regard to continuing to do this. This is not as Malcolm and this particular session suggests, a war. This is an ongoing activity. It's not something for which we'll work on this for 3 years or 5 years or whatever. It's going to require that vigilance and persistence going on and on and on, because the challenges will continue to arise. And finally, it's going to require innovation, to continue to innovate and come up with ways to deal with the challenges. And in looking at this, I've identified three elements, and obviously in the WISIS environment and the information society, we are people-centric, and so people are the fundamental, the key element in this. And what we need are people who are aware of the issues, aware of the sensitivities, aware of the challenges, and have the skills, and those skills include knowledge of the standards that are important to actually fight the battles that are involved in the in this war, as Malcolm had suggested it. And standards are important to that. It's also necessary that we have processes in place, processes such as the ITUT, that allows people with those kinds of skills to get together and, in fact, develop the standards, address the challenges that lie ahead. And the fruits of that is the technologies that result. And those are individual security technologies, but more importantly, as we go forward, those technologies have to be integrated into the technologies of the network so that there's not an add-on feature of security, but rather, in fact, that security is built in from the beginning. And so those three elements are key. Let me touch on several of them quickly. In building this culture of cybersecurity, as I mentioned, people are key, having them have the skills. One of the things that many of you may be aware of is that Cisco has worked for a number of years, actually 10 years, on developing Cisco Networking Academies. And a key part of that is providing people with the skills to, in fact, design, build, operate, and maintain secure networks. And so security is an element of that. We have translated this into the six UN languages plus a number of other languages, so there are perhaps 10 or 15. And we've done that in 160 countries around the world, and developed this program that so far has graduated 2 million graduates, and there are currently about 500,000 people in the program. But with a view towards inclusiveness, we worked with the ITU Secretary General and the ITU to, in fact, have a program with the ITU focusing on least developed countries. We worked with the ITU and others. In the case of the ITU, we have more than 60 networking academies that have been set up. We have 5,000 graduates so far in the last several years. We have 2,000 more that are currently taking these programs. And these are providing engineers in the field in developing countries who can, design, build, maintain, and operate secure networks. We're also working with UNDP and a number of other organizations with regard to that. I won't talk more about the other programs, but just to indicate that this is by way of example. Many other corporations are involved in programs of human capacity building. That's fundamental to, in fact, have people who have the skills, the knowledge of the protocols and the standards to continue to evolve that. The next area in terms of process is the fact that once you have the standards in place, as Malcolm has suggested, you also have the opportunity or the need to, in fact, develop best practices and to share information among organizations. And around the world, there are 189 teams that have been created, response teams, incident response teams developed around the world in 41 countries, that whenever there is an incident anywhere, Malcolm talked about the sort that happened in recent months. Every time that happens, there's then a network of first responders, if you will, around the world that are given information so they can, in fact, work to isolate any issues and control that. What this organization does in times when there isn't an incident is they work to develop collectively global best practices that they can then share amongst themselves to, in fact, be a basis for continuing to be vigilant and to respond to issues. They also put together packages that allow those countries that are interested in having basically a kit that would allow them to start up, and they provide the assistance to, in fact, bring more first responders online. So this is an important activity. It builds on standards but complements those. And then, of course, there are a number of nations and regions that have, in fact, initiatives to share information with them themselves. And you'll hear a lot more about the ITU in terms of standardization, but Cisco is fortunate and honored to be able to participate in many of the activities, including the global cybersecurity agenda that the Secretary General talked about, and be a member of his high-level experts group in developing that global framework and providing an opportunity for multi-stakeholders to participate in that. But without going through this, we actively participate in the ITUT, ITUD on these, as well as the training centers. One of the things I wanted to mention, and Malcolm alluded to the fact that there are many organizations developing standards relative to security, and we participate in those, and it's very important that these organizations collaborate and cooperate. We need to ensure that we're not duplicating efforts, and we need to, in fact, take full advantage of the resources that are available to us. The other point I'd like to highlight here is the importance of these standards being voluntary. That technologies are moving quickly, the solutions to deal with the issues are rapidly changing, people are innovating, and they need to continue to innovate in these areas. If in fact best practices or the technical standards are in fact mandated, you basically have yourself in a situation in which those who are trying to provide the network, who are trying to address the challenges, basically are limited in what they can do to those technologies that have been mandated. And they can only utilize those, whereas the people who are engaged in the bad behavior, they have the full range of options available to them. All they have to do is potentially look at the standards, look at the evolution, and in fact try to develop solutions or their solutions for bad behavior that get around the technology. So we need to ensure that the technologies are voluntary, are based on voluntary standards, so we're not basically tying the hands of those who are looking to provide a network solutions and to provide a secure network. I won't go through this, but just to point out that there are many of, you know, governmental and regional initiatives for cooperation that are going on. And finally, in conclusion, just to once again reiterate the importance of us working together on building a culture of cybersecurity, that we all need to be involved in it and be vigilant, persistent, and innovating, that it requires a partnership of all the stakeholders to make this a reality. And in order to promote trust and confidence and increase the awareness, human capacity building has to be a fundamental part of it to ensure people are working on developing standards and, in fact, promoting that sense of trust and confidence and building networks and solutions that, in fact, deliver a secure network to people so that we can collectively work to ensure that the information society is one that's secure and can realize the objectives of the World Summit on Information Society, that it be people-centric, and we utilize ICT and the information society to improve the lives of people. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Now I give the floor to Ms. Shoya Yang, Engineering of the Telecommunications Standard Bureau at the ITU. You have the floor.
Could you please start my presentation? Okay, so good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Shoya Yang, and I'm the engineer for Study Group 17 of TUT. And I'm very honored to have this opportunity to provide you more details of the TUT standardization effort in promoting cybersecurity. We all know ITU is the UN specialized agency for telecommunication. ITU standards, so-called recommendations, have formed the foundations of the information and the communication technologies of today. Every time you make a simple phone call, send an SMS, receiving streaming media to your mobile phone, an ITU recommendation will have played a fundamental role. How can we ensure that we can fight against the cyber threats? It's very important that we have a clear understanding of the sorry, I got mixed up a little bit. Standards is very important for building confidence on cybersecurity. And as the oldest member of the UN family, ITUT standardization effort spanning over 140 years, and ITU security standards has evolved abreast with telecommunication technologies. So we have key security building blocks shown in this slide covering all kind of telecommunication systems. Here are some examples of the famous, most important security standards in use today developed by ITU. This figure shows the public key infrastructure and the privilege management infrastructure as defined in ITUT recommendation X.509. This is the cornerstone standards for e-commerce today, and it forms the foundations where jurisdictions around the world has associated electronic signature with a legal status and recognize email as a legal document. Another not so famous but very important piece of ITU standardization is X.805. Our figure shown in these slides is a comprehensive reference model to systematically address complex security issues from 8 security dimensions as shown in this figure. Because to ensure cybersecurity, it's very important to understand the assets need to be protected, the threats against which those assets need to be protected, the vulnerabilities associated with those assets, and the overall risk to those assets from these threats and vulnerabilities. This reference model provides a comprehensive approach, defined security in a matrix of 3 security layers, multiple 3 security planes, which forms 8 security dimensions, covers the 3 aspects as Art just introduced, people, process, and cooperation. Here the 8 security dimensions, namely are access control, authentication, non-repudiation, data confidentiality, communication security, data integrity, availability, and privacy. Currently, all ITU standards activities are reviewing security issues as part of their work, while Study Group 17 acts as the lead study group on telecommunication security. It works on core technology, common security techniques, and general security guidance, and it leads the coordination with other standardization bodies on security work. SG17 have approved more than 100 recommendations, and for the moment, it has more than 50 ongoing security work items. It also publishes regularly a security manual as an overview of security issues and a handbook for deployment of ITU recommendations. It also publishes on its website an electronically security compendium, which contains a catalog of approved ITU security recommendations and definitions. SG17 work addresses many aspects of cyber threats, including network attacks, denial of service, adverse dropping, worms, malware, and spam. Figure in this slide shows the major questions of SG17 on security and their work areas. Table in this slide lists some names of the recently approved new or revised recommendations by Study Group 17. Some examples include password authentication key exchange protocol, telebiometrics for authentication, mobile end-to-end service, web services, and emergency alerting and public warning standards. One important message here is since the beginning of this year, ITU recommendations are freely available online for everyone. Ongoing work of SG17 focuses on overview of cybersecurity, identity management, countering spam by technical means, mobile web services security, and home networking security. as an increasing number of telecom operators reoriented their business plan to move to next generation all IP network, ITU security program is adapting and expanding to encompass security aspects in NGN architecture, multimedia, quality of service, IPTV, and digital satellite systems. Here I would like to share with you an example of current security activity all over the world. We see an emerging need for identity management security standards because internet began with a closed network with a limited number of trusted users, which means user authentication was not originally a major issue. But in the open cyberspace of today, everyone who has access to an internet cafe can log on, then online identity is very critical. Identity management becomes the core element of cybersecurity and infrastructure protection. The urgent demand to identity management standards has resulted in a rapid development of security of standardization initiatives and proprietary solutions among many industry forums. The ecosystem of standardization has been and will remain very diverse, highly distributed, substantially autonomous, and constantly evolving as such in the foreseeable future. Therefore, collaboration is a key factor for standardization. Standards have proven value to industry, but the industry doesn't have limitless funds for any given activity. To respond to the urgent need for collaboration in identity management, ITU set up the focus group, as Malcolm just mentioned. During a year of intensive work program, ITU experts worked with all those forums shown in the previous slides and produced five deliverables. And all this output from this focus group have formed a solid base for further work of identity management in Study Group 17. ITU continues to work closely with ISO and IEC through the World Standardization Corporation and with many regional and national standardization bodies through the Global Standards Collaboration Association. Here is a tool developed by ITU to promote cooperation of key international standards bodies. This ICT security standards roadmap highlights existing, ongoing, and future security standards. And from the beginning of this year, as ENISA and NISC join this initiative, it becomes a joint project. Part two of this roadmap is a searchable database of existing security standards currently include work from ITUT, ISOIEC, JTC1, IETF, and IEEE. ATSI, and OASIS. So this brings to the end of my presentation. It's clear that security is a complex issue that affects all of us. Unfortunately, even with adequate knowledge of the threats, adequate security cannot be achieved unless we keep updating and reviewing all those measures. Standards are key building blocks to construct a global cybersecurity culture. International standards provide manufacturers a global marketplace to compete with each other and provide the end user with better prices, compatible products, and confidence on established level of confidence and performance. international standards setting activity is a globally collaborative effort, and ITU made a vital contribution to this process with open worldwide membership and collaborative impartial approach. We're looking forward for experts to joining hands with us to gather in our meetings to contribute your time, your knowledge, your expertise to set up specifications for security and guidelines for best practices. For more information, please follow the links given in this slide. Should you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to contact me. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. With this presentation, we finalize the first section dedicated to the role of standardization in cybersecurity. And I will thank the three speakers and invite Mr. Juan Sabatiero and Alexander Doco to come to the podium for the presentations on the cybersecurity work program to assist developing countries. Apparently, I am allowed to use my native language, so I voy a presentar al señor Sabatiero, quien es el oficial regional de ITU para las Américas. Tiene usted la palabra.
Muchas gracias, embajadora. Yo primero que nada, como representante de la UIT a nivel regional, estoy localizado acá en Brasilia. Le quiero dar la bienvenida a todos los participantes que no son miembros de la región Américas y en particular dar la bienvenida a la región de Latinoamérica, que tiene una característica fundamental, va desde México hasta Tierra del Fuego, incluye a Cuba y República Dominicana y se hablan dos idiomas, español y portugués. Estoy ocupando este lugar también en representación del señor Sami Al-Bashir, director del sector de desarrollo de la UIT, quien me ha pedido que diga unas palabras en su nombre. Él lamenta no poder estar presente entre nosotros hoy, pero me ha pedido que lo haga y con mucho placer yo voy a decir los trabajos que está realizando la BDT en la región, en el mundo, a nivel global. Como ustedes saben, la Comisión de Estudio 1 del sector de desarrollo de la BDT, en particular la cuestión 22.1, trata sobre la seguridad de la información y las redes de comunicación. En esta comisión se encuentra desarrollando una guía de las mejores prácticas para construir una cultura de ciberseguridad. Aquí es donde se definen las bases para organizar un enfoque nacional para la ciberseguridad. El principal objetivo de esta cuestión es investigar, catalogar, describir y llamar la atención sobre los asuntos principales que encuentran los hacedores de política a nivel nacional, construyendo una cultura de ciberseguridad.
Okay.
Okay, I will. Sorry. But I saw today people hearing when they were talking in English, the translation to Spanish. But anyway, I'm speaking on behalf of the BDT director, Mr. Sami Al-Bashir, who has requested me to say some words on his behalf. Unfortunately, he cannot be with us sharing this in this meeting. And then I was saying a few words about the study group one of the BDT that through the question 21.1 is developing the cybersecurity. Through this question, it deals with the security of the information and communications networks. The study group one is developing one guideline for best practices in order to build a culture of cybersecurity. Here is where we define the basis for a national approach for cybersecurity. I will not say again, I say something in Spanish, the main objective, because my colleague probably will do on that, but let me say, because we have short of time, that we are making some, the ITU BDT is making some regional workshop. This year there was a workshop in Hanoi, Vietnam in August, in later on in Buenos Aires, Argentina in October, and in Praia, in Cabo Verde, in November. For next year, we are planning to make meetings in Bulgaria, Thailand, Qatar, and some meetings will be also established in Africa and in Latin America. Now, my colleague, I will ask my colleague, Mr. Alison Toko, he could say additional information, technical information on the cybersecurity issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now I give the floor to Mr. Alexander Doko, who is the head of the corporate strategy at the ITU Secretariat. The floor, sir.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. as you heard in the opening remarks of the Secretary General, you know, cybersecurity is something which is global. And for an organization that has 191 countries, of which about 150 are considered developing or emerging, there is an intensive program which is being undertaken by the development sector to assist developing countries so that the gap between the knowledge and technology gap can be bridged. If a link could be, if you could click on the link on ITUD activities, whoever is operating the page, could you click on, there's a link there, ITUD activities. I want you to see some of the activities which are planned. But D like dinosaur, D, not T. T like tiger. Oh, you know. Okay. I will talk a little bit about one particular initiative, which is a project launched by the development sector, which is the self-assessment toolkit. Because security is also something that you need to know where you are, you know, what is your level of preparedness. And since we are dealing with a number of countries where we have to build capacity, we have to also see what elements are in place in terms of policies, in terms of technologies, in terms of the knowledge itself. So there is a project which is ongoing now, which looks at how do we assist countries in setting up their national strategy. Because for us to get this global connectivity, the countries have to have in place the necessary policies and strategies. How to put in place or facilitate government-industry collaboration, deterrence on cybercrime, what laws have to be put in place? Do these laws exist already? And also when you have attacks, when you have a country that has been subject to cyber attacks, how do you respond to it? How do you manage incidents? And then the overall culture of cybersecurity. For students, young people who go to cyber cafe, what types of programs need to be put in place to make sure that as you drive on a highway, you also know some of the basic rules that you need to know for the info route or for the information superhighway, as they call it. So the self-assessment tool looks at the people, the institutions, the relationships between them, the policies and the procedures. And of course, my colleague mentioned about the number of activities, workshops, which are aimed at building capacity. These are being organized in different regions, and also with the collaboration of a number of partners. Cisco is helping with them. Other companies like Microsoft and others are part of this effort to bring this expertise from industry so that we can build the necessary knowledge. Not just knowledge at the technical level, but also knowledge at the institutional level. Put in place the institutions, address the policy issues through working with countries, and also help them in putting in place national legislation. Because at the end, for us to get this globally connected and safe information society, we need to make sure that the developing and least developed countries also have the necessary assistance so that the chain, as we know, is as strong as its weakest link. So if we want to build a global and safe information society, it is important that we take account of the activities that are needed to assist developing countries. So the development sector activities are focused on this area. I think, Madam Chair, since we are running out of time, I have the link up there. But if you have any particular questions, that's why I put the link out there so that you can get a lot of background information about what the development sector is doing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Doko. That concludes our discussion on the work program, and then I invite the Secretary General, Mr. Touré, Mr. Maud Debar Bukirkyo, and Shamsul Jafni to come here to present the discussion on the international dialogue, cooperation, and coordination to address global challenges in building confidence and security in the use of ICTs. I'm very sorry. It's I had a mister for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm basically trying to facilitate this session. There are a number of panelists, including the Secretary General, and also we have Council of Europe, we have APECTEL and Government of Malaysia, who would give their views. Now we are looking at, you know, how do we put some ideas together, what is going on in the domain of international cooperation, and how do we collaborate and cooperate in this global challenge that we face. So with this, I will hand the microphone back to the chair to call on the speakers on the panel.
Thank you very much, Mr. Doc. I would give the floor then to the Secretary General for addressing.
Thank you, Ambassador. The greatest challenges we are facing when we are talking about cybersecurity, first of all, is the privacy. How do we ensure a safe cyberspace without infringing in people's freedom of speech and their freedom, their privacy as well? Those are two key issues that are very important. Unfortunately, we do have different definitions in different countries on those issues. So it becomes a very tricky problem. And second, how do we define crime? Some of the questions we have sometimes is something that there is a crime in one country may not be a crime in another one. Take the example of pornography. In some countries, it could be a death penalty. In another country, it could be just an adult's freedom of behavior. How do we do that? How do we address them? What are the issues? Do we find key areas of common understanding where we could address cybersecurity? I take the example of child pornography. That's one area where I think everyone who has a child has a common agreement that it's a crime, or anyone who has been a child. So even if you don't have a child, you've gone through this and you know that it's a problem. Therefore, I think the challenge we have is how do we start working immediately, because the thefts, the criminals are working around us as we move. How do we address the issue of the cyber crime, which is exactly the same type of crimes that are happening in the conventional world, but at a higher speed, in multiple places, from remote areas? So the cyberspace is not, in fact, inventing any new type of crime, but it's amplifying them, the existing ones. How do we tackle them at a global scale to ensure that we are giving internet to our children and grandchildren in the safety of their bedrooms and thinking that they are safe while they can be out there as if they are in the street? So those are the challenges we have. How do we go beyond the cultural differences in a global problem? When putting the cybersecurity agenda together and the high-level experts group, these are key challenges we faced. And that's why we broke down, the expert came with breaking down the issue into several levels that could be acceptable for discussion so that action be taken. We really need quick action. And how do we ensure that there are, that we match or bring together different security strategies and actions that are being taken in different places? We know when the world is unsafe, everyone wants to take his own security in his own hands, and that's the biggest problem. How do we make it global security? There are existing frameworks that are good, that are efficient, within the limited area they are operating, the Council of Europe, many other cybersecurity things like the Seoul-Melbourne Agreement, the London Accord. All of those have their own efficiency, but limited in the scope in the region. Therefore, how do we globalize them and making sure that we don't have to reinvent the wheel, nor having to make mistakes that have been made? So those are the biggest challenges we're facing when we're dealing with this matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now I give the floor to Mrs. Maud de Boer. You have the floor.
Thank you very much, Ambassador. Well, I think our starting point, which is common to all of us, is that internet provides a tremendous potential, but a high potential for crime. And these crimes are numerous. Criminals have an incredible imagination, and we can easily list a number of crimes like fraud, identity theft, child pornography, cyber hate, pharmaceutical crimes, money laundering, terrorist financing, attacks against the computer systems or even critical infrastructures. And all these criminal offenses are committed through or facilitated by the use of internet. And these new technologies, the new technology, challenge all the existing legal concepts. Laws are generally confined to specific territory, but criminals are increasingly located in places other than where their criminal acts produce their effects. Through the use of the internet, the more ambitious and technically skilled criminals are no longer restricted by geography or state borders. Therefore, it is quite clear that any effective solution can only come through a better international cooperation and a specific international legal instruments. And this was the thinking behind the 2001 Cybercrime Convention of the Council of Europe, which, as I said this morning in the opening session, it is the first and the most comprehensive treaty which deals with crimes committed on, through and against computer systems. This convention has basically three aims. And in this respect, I think it responds already very effectively against one of the concerns expressed just a moment ago by the Secretary General. Because it introduces common definitions of cybercrime offenses and therefore help in harmonizing national legislations. I just take the example of the pedopornography, which was just mentioned, which is of course one of the very, very worrying developments. This convention criminalizes the electronic production, possession, and distribution of child pornography. So from that moment on, for the member states who accede to it and ratify it, this is the definition which has to be reflected also in national legislation. So that was substantial law. Then there's procedural law. It identifies new investigative and prosecution methods adapted to the world of internet. And thirdly, and very importantly, it facilitates and accelerates international cooperation also through the creation of a permanent contacts network which operates 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. Our convention has been signed by 43 countries and ratified by 21 states, both from Europe and from other parts of the world. Amongst others, it has been ratified by the United States of America and signed by South Africa, Canada, and Japan, while Costa Rica, Mexico, and the Philippines have asked to accede and their applications are currently being processed. Ladies and gentlemen, this is good, but it is not good enough. Any successful campaign against cybercrime will have to be global as cybercrime itself. The Council of Europe Convention provides the platform for such global cooperation, and that is why other countries should join as soon as possible. Let me just make it very clear that from the outset, this convention was conceived as a global instrument and not limited to the scope of the European continent. It's not just a European treaty, it's a treaty drafted to serve the world, as understood very well by the countries I've just mentioned. The alternative would be to prepare a new international legal instrument, which is of course possible, but it makes really no sense. I sincerely doubt that criminals would give us the courtesy of halting their illegal activities while the world is engaging in protected negotiations aimed at reinventing the wheel. But the convention can and it will be updated and improved, and this is why we welcome the ITU initiative to create a global cybersecurity agenda as a platform for dialogue and international cooperation. We truly believe that the global security agenda can provide valuable support to the international fight against cybercrime, provided that it focuses on added value and not duplication. The Convention on Cybercrime must remain the legal basis for our common fight. Any other approach runs the risk of playing into the hands of the bad guys. Cybercriminals are low on morals, but high on technical skills. Time is of the essence. The criminals are already too often ahead of us, and we should not provide them with further opportunities to get further beyond us. Let me just give you one example of the private sector. The industry was initially reserved about the convention, but has since changed its position and now supports its broadest possible application. The private sector understood that freedom of expression and free trade are not incompatible with the adoption of concrete measures to counter crimes online. A safer internet is a freer internet, and that is the interest of individual users, public authorities, and the industry alike. It is also in the common interest of all countries in the world, regardless of their geographic location or level of economic development. And that is why I want to thank you, Mr. Secretary General, for organizing this panel, and Madam Ambassador for chairing it. I believe that in the future we will be working together even more closely to promote our common goal, to our two organizations and all our member states, which is to prevent criminals from turning the internet from an asset into a liability. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now I would give the floor to Mr. Shamsul Jafni for.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. It's good to be here to talk about international cooperation with regards to the cybersecurity agenda, which is a very important topic in terms of addressing cyber threats or in ensuring cybersecurity in the global environment. Malaysia has the privilege, and also APECTEL, Security and Prosperity Group, which I chair, had also had the privilege of being invited by the ITU to sit in the high-level expert group working towards setting up the global cybersecurity agenda. And Malaysia, together with South Africa, has been appointed to co-chair the work on developing these strategies in terms of international cooperation. I think we've heard from Dr. Turi this morning that there are five areas of working areas which the ITU has identified for us to develop these strategies, ranging from legal measures, technical and procedural measures, organizational structure, capacity building, and lastly, but I think most importantly also would be international cooperation. Would countries work in silo with all the other working areas without the cooperation part, then possibly the entire strategy of work of the IT would really not go anywhere. And hence, during our first meeting on October 5, I think the floor was quite adamant in terms of asking the ITU to also highlight the need for international cooperation for the global cybersecurity agenda to really work in the long term. I would agree with some of the things which the Council of Europe has raised in terms of not reinventing the wheel. I think there is a lot of good work that's been done for the past few years in terms of developing legal frameworks, in terms of ensuring there are viable strategies in terms of warnings and alerts around the CERT communities. Those work need to be enhanced, need to be promoted in a more international level. And hence, we think, again, why international cooperation is very, very important. Now, why is it important? I guess just to quote Dr. Oscar Sanchez, he said during the October 5 meeting, he said that it is not a problem any one nation can solve. Now, how true is that? I think it's very true. We keep hearing about no countries no one is an island in this interconnected world. It's a cliche. Everywhere you hear it, people are repeating it until you get tired of it. But it's actually the truth that all of us would have to, in this internet environment, we'd have to change our mode of thinking in terms of sharing information, because what happens in, say, Malaysia could also be a threat somewhere in Mali, and as the fastest that Malaysia shares that information with Mali, then Mali could then secure its own network, its own gateway against those threats facing Malaysia. So international cooperation is very important. Just now, just before the start of our panel, I had a chance of looking to the ITU website, and I got this interesting estimation from a news downloaded from the ITU site. Analysts are saying that cybercrime has actually outstripped illegal drug sales. Imagine that. It was too much for me to fathom that actually illegal work in the internet has actually outstripped illegal sales of drugs. And this analyst has estimated that online fraud will bring in $105 billion in 2007, which got me to think, am I in the right business? Just kidding. So, this morning, we also heard of during the opening day of the IGF, John Clinton, a consultant, I think he mentioned that there is actual sufficient examples of international cooperation being done in the physical world, which we think, and I would agree with him, which could be duplicated in the internet environment. And there again, echoing the need for us not to reinvent the wheel, to look at strategies which has been successful and try to duplicate it in the international environment. Right now, there are more than a billion users of internet users in the world. I think as people, as stakeholders, being entrusted to safeguard, to ensure trust and security of the internet, I think we owe that responsibility to users, to citizens of the world, to ensure that their expectations are managed. And therefore, it's important that when these strategies are being drafted, are being then shared, countries could then implement these strategies, embrace these strategies, because these strategies would be as good as it is on paper if it's not being embraced and executed by countries. So just to share with you what we will do in terms of the Work Area 5, we're finalizing the tables of content. I understand the ITU will be holding a meeting among the high-level expert group sometime in January. We will be discussing those work areas in January. Hopefully, we will then have a good debate in that week so that we can actually then finalize the draft so that we can move forward towards setting up the global cybersecurity agenda. So, speaking on behalf of Malaysia, we congratulate ITU for coming up with this global cybersecurity agenda. It's long overdue, but I think we're heading towards the right way, and with the leadership of the ITU, we hope that the global cybersecurity agenda would actually be a strategy which countries could then embrace and execute within their own boundaries so that we can successfully ensure a safe and secure internet network for the world. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Unfortunately, we won't have the time to do an open discussion as was programmed, but I encourage all of you, if you have any questions, to contact the ITU Secretariat. You know each other and any of the speakers here that can help on that. I will now give the floor to Mr. Doko to do some very short closing remarks. Thank you.
thank you, Madam Chair. Basically, this session was to see, to exchange ideas among the panelists, to talk about some of the areas where it is important to cooperate, some of the areas where it is important to arrive at a common understanding, some of the areas where our cultural differences might have an impact on how we understand the problem. But I think the key message that we have to send out there is that cyber criminals are not sleeping. We are also not sleeping, and we should not sleep. We have to keep on making sure that we improve on what we have. I use there is the use of the term inventing the wheel. I prefer to say, upgrading or improving the wheel. Because one of the things I said during the 5th of October meeting was that if we use the wheel as it was invented 200 years ago, we would still be having, some wooden stuff going on top of. So we have to improve on the wheel, and we have to take account of the challenges that are faced today. But we can do this through cooperation, as the SecGen said, by not reinventing what others have done, but through cooperation. Through cooperation, collaboration, and a common understanding. So I think if we go with that idea that, together we can win the war, and to win the war we need to cooperate, then I think we have made a positive step towards achieving the goals as set up by the World Summit on the Information Society. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you all for attending this open forum.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your presence here. It was an interesting discussion. Thank to the Executive Secretary for having organized this. And as I said, if you have any questions, you please contact the ITU Secretariat. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a nice afternoon.